Maybe I'll get this right. I'll learn. If you don't know what it is, ask somebody. Huh? You're asking me? Wait a minute, I don't do it very well yet. I'm doing it wrong. D? No, it's supposed to be number three. D3. It's got something to do with Robin's crazy actions today. There you go. And that's coming. I'll get better. Can you be dyslexic with your fingers? All right. Again, welcome. I'm supposed to do an illustration here, but I'm too cheap to give away $20. So imagine I have a bright, brand new, crisp $20 bill. Wait a minute. Dig down my pockets here. Okay. This is just a dollar, but pretend it's a 20. Does anybody out there want this dollar bill? I was hoping the kids would still be here, because I know one of them is going to want it. You're not count. You don't count. You want it? Okay. Wait a minute now. And you want it? Wait a minute. You still want it? All right, come here and get it. I'll give you two of them. Come here. It's not a trick.
I don't know.
You want one? No. All right. For you adults, that was a $20 bill. Money, dollar bill or $20 bill, whatever it is. Bright and crispy and new. You crumple it, you get it dirty, you walk on it. It still holds the same value. It still holds the same integrity. It doesn't change. And I want to talk about integrity today. We've come on quite a journey in the last few months about change and about prayer, about who we are in Christ and the things that happen in our lives. We're going to start out with Jesus' example. In John 10:25, Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." What Jesus is saying is what you see and what you hear testify to who I am and what I am. A person of integrity is validated by the way they live their lives. A person of integrity, if they're pure in heart, then they're pure in their actions. Because in reality, when it gets right down to it, what we do in our lives is a reflection of what we hold in our hearts. But we have to value the benefits of integrity. Let's be realistic. We've talked about change, but none of us is going to change unless it holds a value for us. Not so much of what's in it for me, but is it really worth the pain that I have to go through to change? What benefit does it have? What is the price of change? And will it improve me? So I'm going back into my life here now, and just imagine I go to buy a new pair of shoes. Now, you don't need to imagine me buying a pair of shoes for $150 to $175 because it's not going to happen. When I buy shoes, I look in the $50 range, maybe $60, and it frustrates my wife. But see, I don't care what the new styles are, what the new colors are, what the commercials say. Basically, I buy the same pair of shoes every time I buy a pair of shoes. I want them in gray, or I want them in brown, and I want them to look like the last pair I had. So I look on the sales rack and I find a pair of shoes that I'll pay $50 or $60 for, even though they're last year's model or the model year before that, because I don't find any value in a $150 pair of shoes. I hope I'm not stepping on anybody's toes here, pun intended. But really, shoes only hold a value for me of about $50. And I'd rather it be $30, but you know, even I know you can't do that anymore. So I find value in $50 shoes. Now let's look at computers. Now I've built quite a few computers in my lifetime, and I know computers basically look the same. Maybe a little bit different color, a little flashier. But it's what's on the inside that counts. It's the guts of the computer, and that's where you put your money. You need more power, you need more speed, you need to match it to what you're doing. And integrity is a lot like that. It's not like a new pair of shoes where you buy them for the flash and for the style. Integrity is more like a computer. It's what's inside that counts. So if I'm going to be a person of integrity, I have to understand the value and whether I'm willing to pay the price. Now, I've got a lot of scriptures to share with you today, but they're mostly short ones, and I couldn't get stopped once I got going. So bear with me. Integrity provides me with protection, less fear in my life. Psalm 25, 21 says, "Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you." Now, this is an easy one. I found a quote from Mark Twain. Mark Twain said, "Speaking honestly is better. It takes a lot of stress out of our lives. If I tell you the truth, you don't have to remember anything. But if I don't tell the truth, then I have to remember what I said." Integrity is telling the truth, telling it like it is. If we want to enhance our lives by telling stories, that adds to your stress, because you have to remember that story and retell it the same every time, over and over, no matter how many years ago it was. When I have integrity, I have protection from that fear, because I live my life honestly. I say what is true, and I don't worry about having to repeat it the same way, because it's the truth. Now, integrity provides me with security, a greater confidence in life. Proverbs 10:9 says, "He who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known." I can be confident with what I do is right, and it'll prosper me through my life. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about prospering me with money, because money isn't the idea here. It's not the main thing. It'll prosper me by living a good and righteous life. It'll be a foundation for how I want to live my life. And it'll show my integrity because I do what I say. Integrity provides me with guidance, better decision making. Proverbs 11:3 says, "The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them." Look at the society around us. The changes in even the last 25 years. The things that we allow to go on in this world now. You see, a society without absolute morals, anything can go. We've been slowly changing. The morals of this country have been eroding. The morals of this world's been eroding. And as it goes away, we allow more and more and more. As we allow that, we slip farther and farther away from where Christ calls us to be. Pretty soon, what's allowed by law will have us so we don't trust each other. We can't depend on each other, because our morals only hold until something better comes along, and then I'll desert you for what becomes better. If I live in integrity, a life of integrity, my decisions will be easier to make. Because I have a moral compass, and I'll make that same decision every time, not depending on where society's headed, but on where the Word of God takes me. Integrity provides me with hope, with future rewards. Hope for what? Well, I'll tell you what I hope for in my life. I hope that someday when I stand before God, I don't have to hang my head down in shame. Excuse me. I know I'm not perfect. And I know I'll humble myself in front of the mighty God. But I want to be able to say, God, I did the best I could do. I strived. I don't want to explain the chances I let go, the opportunities I let pass by me, because I was living for the world and not for you. My hope is I'll be compensated for the way I live my life, and I can stand before Him, and I can give my testimony. So I've decided I have to elevate my life to a life of integrity. That's easy to say, but how do we do it? How can we become a people of integrity? What do I have to change in my life? And I've said before that change is a hard thing, and we're going to weigh the costs. The first thing is I need to ask God to test my heart. How many of you here have had an EKG? Imagine lots of us. Well, an EKG tests your heart for problems now and for problems you might have in the future. It's to determine the health of the heart to predict our life. Well, what we need is to call on God, the great physician, to give us a spiritual EKG to test the condition of our hearts and test us for any future problems. Where's our weaknesses? Let's head off the major stuff. 1 Chronicles 29:17 says, I know also, my God, that you test the heart and you have pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things, and now with joy I have seen your people who are present here to offer willingly to you. Uprightness is integrity. You see, God is pleased with integrity and examines our hearts to find out if a person is full of integrity or he's full of baloney. I want to share a newspaper article. This is an old one, but it's a good one. It comes from the Daily Herald in Chicago, clear back in 1996. The headline was, Fairy Tale Princess Story Turns Sour After Newlyweds Lose Money. A newlywed couple had left a black zippered case on the roof of their car as they sped away from the reception to begin their honeymoon. The case had all their wedding gift money in it, $12,000. By the time they reached their destination, it was gone. And that was the end of that article. 2 days later, they ran another article in the same paper. It was a follow-up story. The title was Finders Keepers, Not All Believe It. It went on to say David Yee, an unemployed suburban resident, had come upon a black bag with $12,000 in cash. In spite of his mounting bills and jobless state, he didn't keep the money. Tracking the couple down, he returned the full amount. When asked why he turned it all in, he said, I guess it doesn't matter whether it's $50 or $1,000 or $1,000,000. If it doesn't belong to you, it doesn't belong to you. You see, you'll be characterized by your integrity if your actions prove that integrity. That means having the right thing in your heart and doing the right thing every time. David Yee was a real deal. His actions proved what he had in his heart. And because integrity begins in our heart, we have to ask God to examine our hearts and show us what is questionable. Psalm 26:2 says, Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart. I read that and I thought, would I be willing to pray that? Would I be willing to ask God point blank to examine me and point out my problems, point out where I fall short of Him? And you know what I thought? That's a scary proposition. That's scary to ask God, God, look at me and tell me what is wrong. The human part of me doesn't want to know. I live a pretty good life. I try to live a good life. But then I decided, you know what? That's not enough. If I want to be a person that God's calling me to be, if I want to be a person of integrity, I have to be brave enough to say, God, show me where I fall short. Show me where you need me to change. Examine my heart and give me that spiritual EKG. But then I went on and prayed, God, and then give me the heart to make the changes in my life, whatever they may be. So we have to weigh the cost. But I hope you'll make that prayer today before we leave. Ask God to examine you and make a commitment to listen to what He says and make the changes that He wants made. So how does God show us how to change? How do we learn the characteristics that God wants us to have? How do we learn to be people of integrity? Well, one way to do it is through the Bible. You have to study the Bible to know what is true. And I've said that many times. Throughout the Bible, we'll find words like honesty, purity, truth, and upright. But you know, those all come from the same root word. That's the same root word that brings us integrity. They're all synonymous. Therefore, if we're going to live our lives, we're going to live lives of integrity, we have to know what integrity looks like. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to take time to read the Bible and to study the Bible. We need to read the Bible every day. I know I say that over and over and over again, but it's true. You need to be in His Word. One of the reasons that we have Sunday school, we have VBS, we have our small group Bible studies, is so we can get in the Word and study together. We need to hear what each other has to say. We need to pour our heart into the Bible and let it answer life's questions for us. You'll never come to stability in your life if you don't read the Bible. That's our directions. If you don't read the Bible, you're going to be like a little ship on a big ocean. You're going to be tossed around by the storms. Ephesians 4:14 says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. All right. Men out there, have you ever had a little project you were going to do? Something you bought, you were going to put it together, and you threw the instructions aside. Who needs instructions, right? Can put that together. Well, I think some women out there like that too. Not to point anybody out, but guys, I know you've been there. Have you ever had that time in your life where you just couldn't get it? You put it together and it wasn't right. Or you got it together and it worked, but not the way it should have worked. So what do? You go find the instructions, and you finally read the instructions, and you find out where you went wrong. You make your corrections and everything's hunky-dory. It all works good now. Well, brothers and sisters, here's your instructions. We all live a life together. If we're not reading the Bible, we're not reading instructions. Yeah, you might get it together and you might get it to work, but you're not going to get it to work right, and you're going to struggle. God gives us a set of instructions that explains marriage, It explains how to raise your children. It explains how to be a good husband, how to be a good wife. It explains everything we need to know to get along in this life. But we need to pick it up and we need to read it. If we want to be people of integrity, we got to do it right. We got to treat each other the way God calls us to do it. Can you live a Christian life without studying the Bible? I don't know. I don't think so. At least not get it right. And then we need to apply God's word to our daily activities, our workplaces, our homes. Psalms 15, 1 and 2 says, Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks upright and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. Walking in integrity means integrating all of God's word into your life. Work it into your daily activities and become a doer of the word, not just a sayer. James 1:22 says, but be doers of the world, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. In other words, do what the Bible says. Education without application is a waste. We can study the Bible all we want to study it. We can talk about it in our Bible studies. We can discuss it in church on Sunday mornings. But unless we apply it to our life, it's wasted time. We can be the smartest people in the world and the dumbest when it comes to living life because we don't do it in God's Word. If we do what God says and apply what we learn to our lives, we'll be people in integrity. We'll have hope. We'll have guidance. We'll have security and we'll have protection. If we don't apply it to our lives will be shallow and empty, and we'll struggle day to day without knowing the strength of the Lord. Here's another little story for you. As a result of poor planning, a man needed some same-day dry cleaning done in order to catch his flight. He looked on the internet and found dry cleaners in his town, but it was way across town. Completely in the wrong direction, but he had to have it, and it said it was 1 hour dry cleaners. So he jumped in his car, and he drove the other side of town. He went in and filled out the tag and told the clerk, I need this in an hour. And she replied, I can't get this back to you until Thursday. And he said, I thought you did dry cleaning in 1 hour. And she says, no, that's just the name of the store. We must live our lives the way we... with who we say we are. We can't be 1 hour dry cleaners if that's not what we do. We have to live our life in abundance according to the word. When we say we're Christians and we live contrary to the Bible, we're going to disappoint some people. We're going to make some people mad. It gives God a bad name and it damages our chance of sharing God's love with other people. If we say we're Christians, we should live as Christians. A person of integrity is the same on the inside as he is on the outside. It requires that we're applying the Word of God. We need to remain faithful in spite of our circumstances. Have you ever gone through them times in your life when it feels your whole world's caving in? One thing after another, after another, after another. And you tell God, I don't know how much more of this I can take. God, help me. I know I've said, God, if one more thing goes wrong, I'm going to lose it. I just don't know what to do. But I have a word for you today. Don't ever, 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 ever give up. Do whatever you can to remain faithful. Job was a man who went through an awful lot in his life, but he remained faithful. Job chapter 2, verse 3, then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil, and still he holds fast to his integrity. although you incite me against him to destroy him without cause. God commended Job on his character. He was blameless, upright. He fears God and he shuns evil. His character was good. And the fact that he kept his character all through these hard times, all the things that Satan tried to do, showed him to be a man of integrity. Job lost it all, or almost all. He lost his home, he lost his kids, he lost his wealth, and even lost his health. But he never gave up on God. If you feel like you're about ready to give up, take time to pray and ask God for strength. Reach out to a friend. Reach out to your brothers and sisters in Christ. Remember the story of Job. He hung on through all the hard times. He never gave up on God. He held on to his integrity. His outward appearances showed what was in his heart. I know sometimes it's hard to stay focused and to rely on God in the midst of our problems. I think we've all been there. But a promise is found for us in Isaiah 40:31. It said, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Be faithful to God and remember that He stays faithful to you. Another thing we have to remember, refuse to be persuaded by others. Peer pressure is enormous, and I'm not talking just for kids. I'm talking about adults also. We have people in our lives, we have people maybe in our own families that pressure us to bow, to not follow the example of God, to not be people of integrity. They whisper in our ears, "Just this one time won't hurt. It's okay. We'll go ahead and do this and it'll be all right. We'll make up for it later." Well, to be a person of integrity, you have to stand upright every time. Mark 12:14 says, "When they had come, they said to him, 'Teacher, we know that you are true and care about no one, for you do not regard the person of men, but teach the way of God in truth.'" The disciples were talking about Jesus' integrity. He was the same every time. He treated everyone the same. He didn't choose favorites. Job's wife had some advice for him. She said in Job 2, verses 9 and 10, "Then his wife said to him, 'Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die.'" Every time I read that, I have to shake my head. This was his wife, his loving mate. Curse God and die? But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. We must never, ever let anyone else dictate what we should do. Just think if Job would have listened to his wife. Bad advice. Bad advice. We can rationalize things into our lives, but that's not what God says. People of integrity don't rationalize. They follow the Word of God and they follow the example of Jesus Christ. To become a person of integrity, that means you're willing to go against the crowd if the crowd's wrong. You're willing to stand alone if necessary for what is right. It means peer pressure is no pressure for you. One of the hardest things you can do is stand up when everyone else is against you. But if you know it's right, if you know it's right with God, that's what you have to do. You have to stand against the pressure. You see, it's not what anyone else thinks about you. The only thing that's important is what God thinks about you. And we're all going to come to find that out when we bow down our knees before Jesus Christ. The pressures of this life is all going to wash away. And the only thing that's going to stand is, what did you do in my name? It doesn't matter what we did in the name of the world or the allowances we made for the people. To be a person of integrity, you have to stand up for the right every time. Job 8:20 says, "Behold, God will not cast away the blameless, nor will he uphold the evildoers." Integrity has a high price. But to be people of integrity, we have to be willing to pay that price. We have to look and weigh the options. Is it worth it? Is that price worth it in my life? Yes, it is. Because I guarantee you're going to stand before Jesus Christ. Integrity has a much higher value than riches or fame. Proverbs 19:1 said, "Better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one who is perverse in his lips and is a fool." One of our Bible studies last week, I don't remember if it was Wednesday night or Sunday night, we talked about in the Bible who a fool is. And to be a fool is not a good thing. It's one who rejects the Lord, is foolish in his ways. And Proverbs 28:6 says, "Better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one perverse in his ways, though he be rich." We have a lot of people in this world that are rich, but their ways are terrible. I'd rather be poor and walk upright with the Lord. I'd rather be known as a man of integrity than a man of wealth. I'd give up all I have to follow the Lord. For someone to say, he means what he says, and he does what he says. To be a man of integrity is to walk upright with the Lord. So where's your walk with the Lord today? Do you know the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Is there some place in your life where you're falling short of the calling of God? Is it time to make a change? Let's all stand and pray together. Heavenly Father, your word calls to us. You call to us to be people of integrity. Father, your book of instructions, the Bible, tells us how to live our lives, how to be husbands, how to be wives, how to be children. Your word tells us how to deal with this world, that we don't make compromises just to get along. We don't compromise our beliefs to go with the flow. But Father, you instruct us to stand upright. You instruct us to be people of integrity, to stand upon your word and to do your word and to share your word. Father, I pray for us here today that our lives mimic what's in our hearts and that you are in our hearts, Father. We draw our strength from you. We draw our wisdom from you. And I ask that we will be doers of the word. Father, I pray that you examine my heart today. You will show me where I fall short. Father, you will instruct me. Father, I ask you to give me the strength, you give me the wisdom to make the changes in my life, to be a man of integrity. I pray for this church the same things, Father, that you will speak to their hearts, that you will lead them and you will guide them. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.